Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thank you for kicking it off with us right here at WFHR Locally Grown Radio. It is 8:04 in the clock at your host, James J. I'm joined by Seth Habacker.
Good morning.
Sorry, Seth. That's right. We are joined right now by our good friends from the Weather Eye Weather Center. Good morning, Paul.
Yeah, good morning to you.
How's it going over there?
Not too bad. How about yourself?
Doing all right. We can see some flurries coming down right now. Nothing too bad. Certainly not as bad as the other day. What is it looking like for the rest of the day and our weekend?
Yeah, it looks like just some lingering light snow and flurry activity today, tonight, some flurries Saturday. But anything additionally from today and tonight, still maybe up to around an inch in some parts of the area. But otherwise, temps in the upper 20s today with the south winds 10 to 15. Scattered light snow showers tonight down to 20. And then Saturday, lingering clouds and flurries, highs at 24. West wind 10 to 15. 12 Saturday night, some breaks of sun finally making their way in here. Sunday, 19, partly cloudy, 2 above Sunday night. Some breaks of sun Monday, 19, chance for light snow showers late Monday night. And then Tuesday, some about 11 for a high. Maybe some more light snow coming up Wednesday with highs back in the single digits above zero. Now more overnight lows well below zero through the later part of next week. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Not too bad. We can take it. We can take it. We appreciate it. Paul, hope you have a great weekend. Looking forward to talking again on Monday.
You bet. You too. Sounds good.
Take care. Best in the business right there, friends at the Weather Eye Weather Center. Big shout out to Paul and the gang. Hope they have a great, fun, safe weekend.
Yes, I think we finally have hit winter. It finally, finally got to us. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You noticed right away when that snow was, even when we weren't having anything coming down yesterday and it wasn't moving, it was not going
anywhere. No, this snow is here to stay now.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So, we've got a couple of things to get into this hour, of course. We'll get touch on after this segment, Misty Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club. And after Melissa's news, we will get into our Star of the Day featuring Culver's.
Yes.
We're going to be having some fun with some Christmas stuff today with that one. But right now, this is actually becoming an interesting story to me. It did not when it first popped up. And I want to say it was like maybe a year, maybe 2 years ago I first heard about this. And I'll be honest, right out the gate, I don't have TikTok. I don't need it. Everybody that has TikTok, that when there's something that shows up on there that they think would apply to me, I see it.
Mm-hmm.
So I've never really worried about it. Just be one more app on my phone and all this. As I did, and one more password to remember.
Yep.
I was like, I never really looked into it too much. Then I started hearing people talk about the U.S. banning TikTok. And oh, what is this? Like, are they just tired of social media? It seems kind of silly.
Yep.
And then I look into it a little bit more and who owns TikTok and why this is coming up. And I have no stake in this game. I don't have a preference one way or the other of what happens to this app and its future or anything like that. But I do find it very interesting. And I do think that this is the test case for the future going forward. I mean, by now, I think we kind of get it. Social media apps, they're a thing. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a thing going forward.
Oh, yeah.
Just when you think, well, what more can they come up with? I mean, MySpace seems to have everything. Facebook pops up and destroys MySpace and completely kills whatever that was.
Right.
Then at Facebook, it seems like Instagram comes along, and this seems a lot cooler. And then,
right.
Well, then Snapchat, and et cetera, and et cetera.
Keeps going, going, going.
Next year at this time, there will be another social media app that we'll be talking about.
Yep.
It's just going to keep happening. Mm-hmm. So I do think the topic, the subject matter, is something that we should be paying attention to and that we should, kind of keep our ear to the ground on, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Someone cue up the "Oh no, no, no" song, because the U.S. might ban TikTok. The FCC commissioner just said he doesn't think it's a matter of if it'll happen anymore, but when it'll happen.
Mm-hmm.
So it's one thing for me or somebody else on social media to say this kind of stuff. The FCC commissioner saying it.
Yep.
Has a little more weight.
Yeah.
A bunch of lawmakers have been calling for a ban for years over security issues. It's owned by the Chinese with ties to their government, and they've supposedly been tracking specific American locations. The Senate just voted to ban it on all government devices this week, but there's also a new bill to fully ban it in the U.S. President Biden would have to sign off along with the House and Senate.
Hmm.
This has been tried before. Former President Trump tried to ban it in 2020, but with an executive order, but the courts overturned it. Since then, TikTok has been in talks to hand over control of their data to a U.S. company, but some people don't think they would that would really solve it. What do you do with the information they already have? That's you can't undo that.
Mm-hmm.
So even if they sold the company this minute today, mm-hmm. they still have that information.
Mm-hmm.
So what do the American people think about the ban? This is what I wanted to get into. A new poll done yesterday found only about a quarter of adults are against the idea. 50% of adults said that they'd support banning TikTok. 28% would oppose it, and 23% didn't have an opinion. 52% of people in the survey said that they never use TikTok anyway, but 19% of adults use it every day, including a third of people under 45.
Mm-hmm.
I do think you have to be careful with this. Because anytime the older generations are telling the younger generations, hey, this is what we're doing, that never goes well.
Doesn't seem to go over very well.
We were all that younger generation once.
At one point, yes.
We all know what it's like, the brushback, mm-hmm. and how that feels. And like, yep. Well, wait a minute. We're the ones that are going to be here longer than you. Why do you? You're closer to the end than I am. Mm-hmm. Why do you get to make these decisions? Why do you get to make these decisions? I'm sorry. I was really on a ramble there, and Melissa is outside our building putting up a little snowman.
I totally destroyed your ramble, your rant there, oh, man.
Worth it. Completely worth it. Completely worth it. You rock. You rock, Melissa. You rock. I warm up those hands now.
Yes. It's
really
hot in that studio.
Yeah.
Don't dry them on me, though.
She's going to dry them and warm them on set.
Put them on your face. You're lucky.
Yeah, that's what my wife does. Yeah, you're not allowed to do that.
You're the best, Mel. Oh, that was good. Needed that. I do think that is a concern. When you have people in their 50-plus telling people 20-something what to do, and hey, this is what we're doing, fall in line. That doesn't go well.
No, no.
You know, it's not just teenagers that we're rebellious to these
yeah,
things.
Yeah, exactly.
It bleeds into our older life, too, and as adults, mm-hmm. and some of us never stop being rebels.
Yeah. Just can't help it.
So again, I'm actually, this is one of the few times, mark it on the calendar, I'm not going to make fun of the people without an opinion on this, because I am in that group.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't have an opinion one way or the other. What I do, though, is, well, okay, if we're going to do this, do your homework. Talk to younger people. Figure out why they like this, what they're getting from it, what information are they sharing on it,
mm-hmm.
what is the concern here, and is it a legitimate concern? Is it an actual security concern?
Right.
And then I call upon all of the innovators out here in the world, especially Silicon Valley, make your own dang TikTok. Make your own version of this. Plagiarize the daylights out of it. And I've never said that in my life. I've never said anything close to like that before. But get as close to those copyright laws as you can. Get as close to plagiarization as you can. And make your own TikTok. Call it TokTik. I don't care. But make an American version of this, or a European version, or what have you. And boom. We don't have to worry anymore. Like, I know that, wait a minute, I have a profile on TikTok and I got to start all over or whatever. Yeah, good luck.
I have two comments on this. The first one is, of course, with any social media account, there are security concerns.
Yes.
If the U.S., if we're serious, if the Congress is serious about, doing something that's pretty drastic, banning a certain thing there, then we need to start looking at our own social media apps that we use right now, because those are also used by our own security services to collect data. We know all about this, everybody.
Yep.
The NSA, we know that they listen in all the time. They all of our own little groups like to spy on us. Yep. They're doing it constantly, and I'm sure they're using our social media accounts for that. So let's find a way to get ourselves out of that as well. Let's find a few laws on that. Second of all, I'm not surprised that this is coming up because of China, and I think people should really get ready for more of this.
Yeah,
because. I think
there's becoming a divide.
It's in my opinion. It's already there.
Yeah.
We are currently in a new Cold War with China and Russia. Mm-hmm. And personally, I'm terrified.
Yeah.
Because this is, in my opinion, this is 10 times worse than the original Cold War.
This is how, if there is going to be a third world war, this is how these things can start,
yep.
where you have three countries, three massive, huge countries that are brushing shoulders, that are bumping in, you know, not making eye contact. There's no goodwill with any of them. And it's, I hope people can do this too. When we're talking about these things, be specific in your head, be specific when you're talking about them. It's not the Chinese. It's the Chinese government. It's not the Russians. It's the Russian government. We need to be much more specific about this. I don't care if 1,000% or 100% of the people of those countries back their governments. We all know that ain't true. But if that were the case even, I still say that. You would not want, as an American, you to be labeled, well, I know that you think this because your government did this. Like, or your government is doing this, so you must immediately feel this way. Mm-hmm. If you were to go to another country, to go to another part of the world, and they treated you that way, you would be screaming bloody murder. You would be out of it. Oh, how dare you? How dare you associate me with that? Oh, mm-hmm. I'm an American, sir. I did, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Well, they would be doing the same thing from those other countries. We need to do that, especially if things are going to only get worse. We need to get that understood here. Vladimir Putin does not speak for all of the Russian people any more than President Biden speaks for every American.
Mm-hmm.
That needs to be. We understand that in this country, we get that fine. But we I don't think President Biden speaks for Mrs. Biden. We get that pretty understood.
Right.
Why do we associate that with other countries? Because we don't know much. Now, with China, it's a lot harder. They hold their information pretty tightly. Russia does this to a degree, too. But there are. There are ways we hear of things going on over mm-hmm. there. There is Tibet. I mean, you know, when it comes to China and stuff like that, we have a pretty good example of certain things when it comes to government and people. The Chinese people, no issues with Tibet. None. Why would I have an issue with Tibet? It doesn't make any sense. The government, we have to control. We have to own this. You look at what is happening with Ukraine and Russia right now. It's a very similar story to what China and Tibet has done. There are similarities there. I'm not saying that at all. They're the same thing. But just to speak to the difference of people and government. Mm-hmm. We talked about this the other day with our own country. We have one of the most cool, beautiful things with this country where we can go to war and half our world, our country believes we should be in that war and half our country believes we shouldn't. So we don't look like warmongers that want to run around like pillaging the world or anything, but we also don't look like a bunch of people who, you know, we're going to just take a punch and just keep moving. We're going to defend ourselves. We're going to defend our shores. We're going to defend our people. We're going to defend democracy. But we're not going to go around looking for a fight. Like, this is the country we have. If you tried to do that if the ancestors started out in their original way of doing this, mm-hmm. like, you know, on paper, this is what I want to do. You ain't going to be able to make that happen. We made that happen. We, the American people, made that happen. We have one of the coolest things in the world. The rest of the world looks at that and adores it, just loves it, just wishes they could be that way. We have certain things that are in play for us, that were already set up. We can make this better. We have the Cold War to learn from. We saw some of the silliness of that and some of the danger and darkness of that. We can learn from history. We just got to choose to.
Yes, indeed.
I'm very curious to see how this plays out.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see.
I'm just as curious to see the pushback from people, that if mm-hmm. what they do about that part of it.
Right, right.
Let's go ahead and right here take a quick commercial break.
All right.
We will come back with some celebrating the Misty's right. Menu Birthday Woo-hoo. Anniversary Club and plenty more coming up right here on The Morning Show at WFHR.
Happy birthday, darling. I have no presents, no fancy cake.
It's time for Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club, one of our favorite parts of the day, and we encourage you to treat yourself. Get on over to Misty's. They're open right now till 2, open 6 to 2, 7 days a week at 9041 State Highway 13 South in Wisconsin Rapids. When you get there, wish them a great day from all of us at WFHR.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking at my list here, and I need a one or a two from you, Seth.
Two.
And that'll give us our qualifier.
All right.
So we got the qualifier. We get right into the celebrating. We do want to remind the audience to get us your birthdays and anniversaries. Send them to info@WFHR.com or James@WFHR, Seth, Melissa, any of our cast of characters around here. Send us your birthdays, anniversaries. We'll get them on the airwaves and celebrate with you and all of our friends throughout the world, as it turns out.
As it turns out, yes.
Let's go ahead and jump right in. And we have a special one to start off with. Our good friend here at WFHR, Sally Kistner, celebrating a birthday today.
Happy birthday, Sally.
Sally Kistner, of course, Executive Director of the Arts Council.
Yes.
Sally has joined us on Morning Magazine many, many, many times over the years. And one of those people that I always look forward to whenever I see the schedule. Oh, I get to talk to Sally and Eric a little bit later today and stuff. And I generally smile and get excited about it. Sally is on air, off air, the same person. And it just really the real deal. Like, she cares about our culture in this community. She cares about the arts in this community. She's taken out of her own self to put into this job and to bring people in. I don't think any of us, including myself, even know how much work she puts into bringing these acts to town.
And the
onslaught that is to try to get that to happen. Working out schedules, dealing with prices and egos and all these things.
Yep.
And Sally, for the audience, I don't know if she wants me saying this or not, but I think it's very sweet that she does it. Every time she comes in, she gives us a set of tickets to give away to listeners.
Yes, she does.
And when she can, she always gives me a pair of tickets for either myself or my parents.
Yeah.
And I think that is incredibly above and beyond and very sweet.
That's very sweet, yes.
So that's just a fun, interesting person to talk to. Wishing you a great birthday, Sally. Enjoy your day.
Absolutely.
And thank you for all you do for our community.
Yes.
On Saturday, we got a couple birthdays to mention, but one of them can't qualify, Carol Hilke. That is Pam's sister-in-law who lives in Palatine.
Oh, happy birthday, Carol.
Wonderful lady.
Yes.
Carol, enjoy your day. We hope it's a good one for
Indeed.
You. Indeed. We can add this to the qualifying list, Kay Williams.
Kay, happy birthday and congratulations.
Hope you have a great day, Kay. Enjoy it. And then moving on to Sunday, where we have four possible qualifiers because we had two anniversaries.
Oh, great.
First up, want to wish a very, very, very happy 40th anniversary to Don and Becky Krentz.
Don and Becky, congratulations, and have a wonderful anniversary.
Ruby is the anniversary gift for a 40th anniversary.
Nice.
That's a pretty cool one.
And expensive.
Yes, yes. Don and Becky, enjoy your 40th. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. And then, as much as like 40th, 50th anniversaries I find very romantic, I also love these early ones. Happy 4th anniversary.
Yes.
Pastor Matthew and Amy Bergstresser.
Oh, Matthew and Amy, have a great anniversary, and congratulations for qualifying.
Yeah, a very, very happy anniversary to you,
yes,
too. We wish you the best. Celebrate all weekend long. Everybody celebrating birthdays and anniversaries. Happy 4th. That is really cool.
That's a great one.
I have to say, Pastor, we appreciate your service and everything you do. And Amy, Amy spells her name A-I-M-E-E. That's one of my favorite ways to spell Amy.
It's like Amy Mann, yeah.
Yes, yes, exactly, exactly, brother. I like that. That's really cool. Again, everybody celebrating, wishing you a great one out there.
Yes,
enjoy.
Indeed.
Let's take a look at some celebrity birthdays really quick here. And let me see here. Kristen Ritter is 41.
Yes.
Jessica Jones, the B in Apartment C or whatever she was in that TV show for a while. I really like her.
Yes.
She's great comedic timing, but also just like she can do edgy and like action.
She can do everything, basically.
Yeah.
She's very talented.
I'm looking forward to seeing more of her, more work from her.
Mm-hmm.
Micah McCary is 51. Micah McCary from Boys to Men. He retired from the group a few years ago due to back problems, leaving them as a trio. Their biggest hits, of course, Motown Philly, On Bended Knee. So many great songs.
Oh, 90s. You know them all. Yeah, you're singing them right now.
Yep,
you know them.
Every one of them popping in my head.
Yes.
Let me see here. Benjamin Bratt is 59.
Really?
Yeah. Now, he was on Modern Family a little bit, I guess, but of course, I think a lot of people remember him from Law and Order.
That's where I remember him from.
He was one of my favorite guys on Law and Order.
Yes, but man, he looks good. I didn't realize he was 59.
Right?
Yeah.
He started dating Julia Roberts, and he was supposed to be this next big star and everything, and he got a couple of acting gigs But then the him and Julia Roberts broke up, and they like he lost the projects.
Oh man!
And he brought some attention to this and thought, hey, that's not cool and everything. And then he got blackballed a little bit for a while there, so we didn't see him for a bit. He showed up in some like a Marvel
Doctor Strange. He was in Doctor Strange.
I couldn't remember which one it was. And I see him like, oh my god, Benjamin Pratt.
That's awesome.
And I'm like, oh, I hope he's a big part. And it wasn't a big part, and I was really disappointed in that part of it. He's a dang good actor.
He is. He's very good.
One of my favorite athletes of all time, and for not because of their athletic prowess, just because of as a kid, he was so larger than life. And I actually got to have him sign a card for me at a venture or something like that.
Yeah.
William the Refrigerator Perry is 60 years old today.
Ah, the fridge.
Put all that other stuff I just said aside. I'm just happy that William Perry is 60. He turned 60. If you know anything about him, he has dealt with a lot of health issues in his later days. And
he played professional football.
Right. These older players, too, they nowadays, thanks to a lot of great former players, it is a little better now. Mm-hmm. But Mike Ditka went to go check in on William Perry because he hadn't heard from him in a couple of years. Mm-hmm. And this is ages ago.
Right.
And he goes in, and he goes down south to see William, and William is living in a bit of poverty and can't move that well because of diabetes and all this stuff. And Mike's like, what's going on here, man? You had an NFL career. Well, I also had an agent. I also had doctor bills. I also had this. And when you look at the pay that those guys had back then compared to the pay that they have now. It's sad. So thankfully, there are organizations. There is an organization out there looking out for these former players. Mm-hmm. I'd like to think that the NFL should be doing that. I'd like to think that these teams should be doing that. They are printing money.
Yes.
It's a little like, well, I don't see what the complaint is with college football anymore or college sports anymore. These kids have NIL licenses. They're getting paid. That's unfair. No, what's unfair is that they're getting paid out of citizens' pockets, not university pockets. Mm-hmm. Where these universities, again, are printing money. Mm-hmm. Get over the idea of amateur sports, everybody. That's Please. Long gone.
That is so far gone.
You know what amateur sports are? High school sports, if even that. Because you got kids in Texas that are getting NIL money because they signed up to the university to be a Longhorn or something like that and everything. So, again, just William the Refrigerator Perry, just an amazing NFL career, 10 seasons with the Bears and Eagles. Larger than life, I had a G.I. Joe guy of William Perry.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah. Yes, they made a couple of them.
They gave him a football with a mace, but a football instead of a mace. I never understood that. Let's see here. Billy Gibbons is 73. Of course, Billy Gibbons from ZZ Top.
Yep, that's right.
A ton of great hits from
him. Yes.
Great guitar player, too.
Mm-hmm.
Benny Anderson is from ABBA is 76.
Oh, wow. Now all the ABBA songs are going through your head. You're welcome, everyone. You're welcome.
Great reporter, a wonderful reporter. Leslie Stahl is 81 today.
Wow. Hmm. Oh, man.
And we have some people no longer with us, like a couple of great authors. Sir Arthur Clarke is born in 1917, passed away in 2008, author of 2001, A Space Odyssey.
Mm-hmm. And many, many other wonderful things. In fact, he predicted a couple of things. I believe he predicted satellites.
Yes.
A couple of other things. So he was an actual scientist that wrote science fiction, and he was one of the best.
Philip K. Dick, born in this day in 1928, passed away in 1982.
Wow, another science fiction author.
Yeah.
Very different from Arthur C. Clarke, though.
Very, very, very different. Total Recall, The Adjustment Bureau, Blade Runner, Minority Report, The Man in the High Castle. I mean, Philip K. Dick, there's certain authors that I have such a respect for, even if I don't care for their work. Not the case with him. I enjoy some of his work, specifically Blade Runner, the book. Yep. The movie's great, but the book, man, the book.
Yeah. What was it originally called? Android's Dream of Electric Sheep is what it was based on, which is a great title, by the way.
It is such a good title.
Yeah.
But they're so vast. Like, there is connections, but they're very different. Like, he goes in very different angles here. And I admire that creatively.
Oh, and that's one of the great things about science fiction. It's got such a wide way of writing. I mean, there's so many ways you can approach it. It's really cool.
Yeah. And, of course, course, one of the greatest musicians of all time, Ludwig von Beethoven. Born on this day in 1770, passed away in 1827. He composed his greatest works while deaf. Mm-hmm. Even if you aren't into classic music, you know who Beethoven is.
Dun, 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 dun. I mean, what is a more ubiquitous? It's in the culture. Everyone knows exactly what that is.
There are a few songs more beautiful than Moonlight Sonata.
Mm-hmm.
And I will say this too. I think it's pretty cool when and this happens all the time. Some song from the 70s kind of comes back and brings back. And we always think that's kind of nostalgic and mm-hmm. cool. Like, hey, that song that was really big back then. It got remade by this artist, and here it is now.
Or yeah, right.
Elton John comes out with these hits with his old hits, but with mm-hmm. modern artists and everything. That's great. And look how relevant Elton John is after 4 decades. And Madonna is after 4 or 5 decades. Yeah. That's impressive. And then there is Beethoven or Wolfgang or Bach.
Yeah, right.
That's a different relevancy.
That's complete. That's a different level because they are the ones that constructed what we know as music now. They're the ones that did it. So, yep.
And I think we may have a little more Beethoven later on when Seth and I do our rock history segment.
Ooh.
We'll get into that then. But for now, we want to one more time wish a very happy birthday to Sally Kistner.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday to Kay Williams.
Happy birthday.
And Pam's sister, Carol Hilking.
Indeed. Happy birthday.
A very happy 40th anniversary to Don and Becky Krenz.
Happy anniversary.
And a very happy 4th anniversary to our qualifiers on Sunday, Pastor Matthew and Amy Bergstresser.
Many happy returns for them, yes.
We encourage you to sit back, listen to Melissa's News, then head on over to Misty's Menu. They're open till 2, open 6 to 2, 7 days a week, and 9041 Stead Highway 13 South in Wisconsin Rapids. When you get there, thank the gang for us. Wish them a good day from all of us at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody, to the morning show here on WFHR, locally grown radio. Seth and James here with you. And it is time, everybody, to... Yeah, there it is. That's what I was looking for. That's the noise. One of my favorite sounds in the world. It is time, everybody, to play Star of the Day featuring Culver's. What Seth and I are about to do is play a famous Christmas theme song or music from a famous Christmas special or movie or mm-hmm. TV show or whatever you want to say. But what the catch is on this one, because it's going to tell you what this is pretty quickly, but what the catch is, I want the exact title of this special. I want the exact title of what this was called.
Oh, okay? That's a wrinkle. Yeah,
I like it. Can't just throw in what the character is or anything like that. Yeah. I need the exact title of what this was called.
Very good.
Here it is for you, everybody, and enjoy.
You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch. You really are a heel. You're as cuddly as a cactus. You're as charming as an eel, Mr. Grinch.
All right, let's see if we have ourselves a winner. Good morning, what's your answer?
Good morning, How the Grinch Stole Christmas?
That's right, that's it. Congratulations. Bing, 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 bing. can I get your first name?
Donald.
Donald, thank you so much. Knew that one right away, didn't you, Don?
Well, I worked on it.
Yeah.
I wanted to make sure I got the right title. I knew it's the Grinch, but yeah.
Yeah.
I thought that we'd have people calling up just saying Grinch. And I thought it'd make it a tiny, tiny bit harder. But in all honesty, it's Christmas, man. I don't want to make these difficult. I want people to enjoy and have fun and get some free Culver's.
That's right.
Sure.
Don, what town are you calling us from?
The Rapids here.
All right, got ourselves a Rapids winner. Thank you so much for listening and playing along, Don. We appreciate it. Just hang on the line. Going to get some information from you. But you are our newest star of the day.
Thank you.
Thank you, Don. Appreciate that.
Yeah.
So there was one other thing that I definitely wanted to touch on about this song, Seth.
Okay, yep.
And I think you know where I'm going with it, and that's that voice.
So a lot of people, know that the narrator for this is Boris Karloff. But people think he also sang the song. He did not. He did not sing the song. That was a man by the name of Thurl Ravenscroft,
one of the
great names of all time.
Easily one of the greatest names ever in anything.
And one of the great voices of all time.
Yes.
There have been a handful of bass voices that have been throughout the years that I've always aspired. I wish my voice was that deep so I could be one of these people. But he was one of my all-time favorites. And what a great singer, too. He's a great singer.
When I was a little kid, I'd go around the house trying to talk like this because I really wanted to sound like him. And when I first saw his name, I wanted to change my name, not my first name, to Ravencroft. I wanted that as a first name. Such an iconic. And again, How the Grinch Stole Christmas, 1966, that first premiere.
Very good.
That is pretty cool.
That is very cool.
We got one more of these, everybody. We are going to do it next week. Next Friday, we'll have one more Christmas Star of the Day for you. Mm-hmm. For right now, we're going to talk to Donald. I'm going to get him my agent's information because he is our newest Star of the Day.
All right.
We'll come back and have some more fun right here on The Morning Show at WFHR, locally grown radio. Yeah. Welcome back, everybody. Morning Show on WFHR. Hope you are having a great start to your Friday. Getting groovy around here.
That's
right. Christmas spirit. It's a good choice, man. Nicely done. Big thank you to our head of production, Seth Haphacker, with all the great bumper work and commercial work you've been doing.
Oh, man,
that 30 hours of Christmas ad, man. I like that. That is really well done.
The one we had was really old. It had been around for... It was Bob Lookwood did that one, right. So it's been around forever. And we need an update.
I'm glad this is coming up, actually, because we were just talking about this off-air a little bit, but... Mm-hmm. We've got something that very few outlets, very few mediums have, very few radio stations have. Mm-hmm. We're still around after 80-some years.
Right.
Our listeners have been here for all that time. Mm-hmm. We've got a core audience like nobody in this. I would say almost nobody in this state, let alone this area.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody has the history that WFHR does, let alone the core listenership that we do.
Totally agree.
I understand that we're not the biggest station in the market and all those things. I'm not talking about ratings. I am talking about longevity and stayability. Like P1s. They have P1s, P2s, and radio. At least they used to. P1, somebody, all they listen to is WFHR. P2, they listen to us maybe in the mornings and listen to something else at night.
Right.
Those P1s and P2s, I believe we've had more of those year after year after year staying with us than anybody in this industry.
Very steady, yeah.
And even they, I think they would admit, they would say that, hey, we love what you guys were doing.
Mm-hmm.
Could use an update here or there.
I agree.
I was talking with one of our longtime listeners, Matt, about this with the Seehafer Singers, and we love that bit. We look forward to it every year. Happy holidays. It's great. It was awesome. We of course can't use that anymore. That's two companies ago.
Exactly.
But I love stuff like that, but at the same time, we, for every older listener we have newer listeners coming in every day.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to find that balance of taking care of both parties, taking care of everybody,
right?
And I think that we're doing that the best we can. I think we're doing that very well. In part because it's even if you're not huge on change, it's hard to hate change when it sounds so good, when it is done so well. That's why you hire good people, and you have people really smart and smarter than you and better than you and more talented than you. It's the opposite of what Krusty the Clown would do. It's fun, though, too, as this is going along because, mm-hmm. Maybe it was more the case a year ago, but even still, as these old commercials play and mm-hmm. we hear ads that we've heard for years or what have you, in between those are newer ads. And it's slowly becoming more and more the newer ads. And then in between there, every once in a while, is an old ad you've heard for a while.
Sure,
A familiarity to it.
Yep.
I think 30 Hours of Christmas is a great example of this.
Yes.
We're bringing back so many of the things that have worked for years, or for decades, really, around here on our 30 Hours of Christmas. And we got some new stuff in there.
We do.
And that's going to be really
some
fun.
Stuff, yeah.
A big shout out to Chuck Gennaro and our staff, but specifically Chuck, working really hard on the 30 Hours of Christmas.
Yes.
To do just that, to make sure that, hey, we've got these things that we know that our audience loves, but there's some new stuff that we're doing, too.
Yep,
here's some cool, fun new stuff. And speaking of the 30 Hours of Christmas, we will get into that next week. We'll tell you what's coming up for our famous 30 Hours of Christmas. Looking mm-hmm. forward to that.
Yes, indeed.
Since we're talking Christmas, let's get into this one. We just heard recently that your Christmas tree could be negatively impacting your air quality.
Right.
And now there is this. A new survey by an insurance company found that 97% of people who decorate inside their homes for the holidays do so with at least one fire hazard.
97%?
Ooh.
Wow.
Yikes.
Okay.
So basically everyone.
Yeah, it does. That's like margin of error stuff. Yeah,
yeah, right.
Yeah, yeah. That, you could say everyone on this one.
Pretty much. Yep. And 76% of people who decorate use multiple fire hazards.
Oh, no.
47% of people say that they use candles. 31% admit to using two or more extension cords plugged together.
Oh, no.
And 28% use tinsel, which can be very flammable.
Wait, people still use tinsel?
I didn't know that.
That stuff is a pain to even work with. Why would you? Yeah.
Might as well be asbestos. Also, 66% of people who use indoor holiday lights, like on a Christmas tree, say they keep the lights on even when no one is home. And speaking of Christmas trees, less than 17% of people who put up a real tree water it every day.
Well, we already had that. A couple, like a week ago or so, we talked about how to take care of your live tree and how to keep it going. You need to water it a lot. Trees need lots of water.
Yeah.
And that's also because of the fire hazard. If a tree dries out, you have basically a tall bundle of kindling sitting in your living room. So, yeah.
If you're putting this stuff up, it's because your family, your loved ones, they like this stuff. We like Christmas decorations. We really love nostalgia this time of year. Mm-hmm. And these old Christmas items that, were handed down from our parents or anything. It's not just that we like the look of them or what they bring to our heart and the nostalgia part. It's that they came from somebody we love and maybe we lost or we miss. And it helps us keep them a part of the season. My family does this. I know many families do this.
Of course.
So I hope trying to find a way to walk that line of say it is tinsel. Say, my great grandmother gave me these tinsel and I want to put it up because it makes me think of her or something. Well, that's cool. I don't want to take that from anybody. Just be very aware of the flammability and all those things of this. Whenever this time of year comes around, one of the more common phrases you hear is keep the reef green. And we say this and we keep this. This is a thing in almost every community, especially rural communities, when it comes to their fire departments. Mm-hmm. And they have a reef up and they have to put a red bulb in there for every fire they have. So we want to keep that reef green so that they don't have to work at all. I want our firefighters bored. I want them bored to death. I want them extremely I got nothing to do here. I haven't had anything to do for days.
Yeah.
That's what we want.
Yeah. Because most of these accidents, and especially fires, it's carelessness.
Yeah.
It's something that could have been prevented. Now, there are some things that happen that we have no control over. Yeah. And those are always going to happen too. But most of these, I remember when we lived out in Fargo, one of the members of the congregation there was an assistant chief of the Fargo Fire Department. And he would tell us, he couldn't tell you how many fires started on decks because someone didn't put out their cigarette.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Deck fires.
Oh,
constant.
Wow. I wouldn't have even thought of that.
Yes, and because they just didn't do that one step.
Yeah.
Do that, put out that cigarette or whatever if you're smoking outside. And it's the same thing with this. Small things you can do don't take a lot of time. You just, be more aware of what it is, and you can prevent a lot of stuff like that, a lot of accidents and fires.
We talk about keeping the reef green and our firefighters, and I think that is incredibly important and way at the top of the list. We also want to keep you alive and healthy and everything, and you to enjoy your Christmas with your family and friends and stuff. There are so many of these things that are shooting ourselves in the foot.
Yep.
Like, we could prevent these things from happening.
Yeah.
Water your dang tree. It's great to have a real tree in your house.
It is.
That's really cool. I personally love the smell and all the look of it and everything. It's a privilege. It's not a birthright. It's a privilege to do something like that. You don't water that tree. That tree becomes flammable. That tree catches on fire. It is devastating for you and yours. Anybody who has experienced a fire like me and my family, my family and I, you know what I'm talking about. It's also devastating for the firefighters and for your neighbors and other people. Like, it's not just you that gets affected by this.
Exactly.
You're the one that takes the brunt of it, but you're not alone in these things.
Mm-hmm.
Keep those things in mind.
And please.
And again, let's help our fire departments, all of them, wherever you're listening to us, be bored the heck out of this holiday
Let them get their Christmas with their family. How about that?
Yeah,
that'd be nice, right?
Nice.
Yeah, don't have to run out to a call.
Yeah, right. That'd be very cool.
Yeah.
And just interesting stats to come out of this. I don't know. That really stays with me. That the survey from that insurance company, 97% of people who decorate inside their homes for the holidays do so with at least one fire hazard.
And just so you're aware, James and I are talking. I mean, we're part of everybody. So we also have to be more aware in a thing. We're preaching to ourselves in this as well because we have to remember to be careful too.
Absolutely. Although I'll say Hanukkah, not as bad. Not as bad. Well, you know, the you wouldn't think so because you got 8 burning candles.
Yeah,
right,
you'd
there
think that'd be a little bit more.
You can't even use the darn things. But actually, not so bad. Not so bad.
That's very true.
Not as much tinsel in Hanukkah. Not as much.
Which, by the way, starts on Sunday night.
It sure does.
I remember hearing that just recently.
Looking forward to it, too.
Yeah.
It's going to be a special one this year. My oldest is, she's almost did it. Oh my gosh, this is how bad I am, man. This is how bad I can hold a secret. If I knew any deep, dark secret, I can hold it to the end of time. I'm so good at those things. I got enemies that I hold secrets for. But if I get a gift for somebody, especially somebody I love, it is just, oh.
The worst. That's hilarious to me. That is just so funny.
I literally am going to tell Seth what it is off air as soon as we're done with this segment just to get it out of my system because it's right there in the tip of my tongue. Oh, I almost did it.
Oh, man.
And she listens from time to time, too.
Yeah, you gotta be careful, man.
I'm just days away and I would have blown it right.
And then it's
before.
On the internet forever. Yeah. So, you know.
It's true. Grubhub's top trending cuisine. That's where we're going to go next.
All right.
A popular New Year's resolution is stepping outside of your comfort zone to try new things. And some people may have done that in 2022 by experiencing a new type of food. Hmm. I've done that. I know a number of people that did.
Mm-hmm.
Grubhub just released their new year-end report, and the top trending cuisine of the year was Australian.
What?
They didn't list any particular restaurants, but on their app, they do consider Outback Steakhouse to be Australian.
Boy, I think there's some Australians that might take issue with that.
Oh, I'm pretty sure the whole continent. Yeah. Pretty sure. Australian cuisine was up 531% year over year. South African cuisine got the second biggest jump with 294%.
Now, that for me would be more interesting because I don't think I've had that, and I'd be very interested in trying some South African cuisine.
Overall, the most ordered foods were basic. Burritos were number one, followed by cheeseburgers, cheese pizza, pad thai, chicken, quesadillas, sushi, particularly California rolls, fried chicken sandwiches, Caesar salads, chicken tikka, and boneless wings.
Oh, wow.
The top breakfast order was a sausage and egg and cheese sandwich. The number one dessert was tiramisu. I say that right? Tiramisu.
You're right on, yeah.
And the top dipping sauce was ketchup, followed by ranch, buffalo sauce, honey mustard, and spicy mustard.
Darn ketchup. Got to work on that.
interesting list. All right. Was there anything that you went on outside your comfort zone this year to try?
You know, I am really trying to think if I did. And I can't think of this year. I went to Hawaii, but that was 2021, so I can't consider that this year.
Yeah.
I did try a few things there.
That's still, to me, that I grandfather that in.
But
time's a flat circle. It doesn't matter.
I can't remember this year, but I'm sure. But, you know, I think most people know I tend to be a more adventurous eater anyway. I like to try different things. I know recently, not just South African, but West African cuisine is starting to become a thing. There's more West African restaurants popping up and that sort of thing. That I have not had yet either, and I'm really intrigued about what that kind of what they
like
involved
try, yeah.
in there. Yeah, it sounds really cool.
I would like that too. I've been trying more Indian food, and I've been trying a lot more seafood. I never really ate a lot of seafood growing up.
Good stuff.
And I should say, I'm trying more seafood that is actually seafood, that isn't just popcorn chicken. Popcorn shrimp.
Yeah.
That isn't just popcorn.
Mostly
shrimp.
Breading, right? Yeah.
It's like like my extent of fish food is that. It's some salmon.
Yeah, fillet of fish at McDonald's.
I do make. I've been eating salmon for over a decade. I do like that. But other fish I've been trying to eat more.
Very good. Yeah.
I thought I would Google Australian foods just for the heck of it. And is there any of these that they actually serve at Outback Steakhouse?
Yeah.
And spoiler alert, no. Vegemite, fairy bread. Tim Tams, meat pies, Aztec biscuits, chicken parmigiana.
Yep.
And pavlova. Just some of the things that I'm seeing here on this list.
The Australians abbreviate everything.
That's right. Yes.
They can't say a full word.
No, that's
which
right.
Which is very annoying. Anyway, not to take on that. By the way, my sister did visit Australia once, and she said, at least with the family she did most of her visiting with, it was mostly meat. Oh, they did lots of meat there. So for every meal, it was lots of meat.
That's pretty cool. We're going to take a break right here, get to CBS News. When we come back, we've got some entertainment news for you we're going to touch on, and we'll also have our day in music history coming up.
Yeah.
Seth and I will get into that. Looking forward to it. Also, good stories of the day, then I write stories, all coming up in the 9 o'clock hour right here on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio.